Paul has defended himself as apostle, and that though it were those who had come into Galatia after he left, which were several cities around in that particular area there, Galatia's a state, there were several cities that they had come into where Paul had left, and he had preached there and won a lot of them to Christ, and they had come in, and they had tried to woo the people away from what Paul had preached to them unto another gospel that was another of a different kind. And he says, Paul says, if that make any difference, if someone comes and preaches another gospel other than that which he preached, let that person be accursed. And this word is, accursed means to be separated from God in hell forever. It's what Paul says in Romans when he says that he wishes that if all the Jews could be saved, he would be accursed from Christ, which meant that he'd be willing to go to hell if all the Jewish nation would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, if someone comes and preaches another gospel than that which Paul preached, and this means another gospel of a different kind, Paul preached salvation by faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing, salvation by trusting what Christ did on the cross. He died, he shed his blood to pay for their sin. When you believe that he does this personally, and believing means to take God at his word, to accept what he has said as being true, then you have eternal life. And as Bobby said, this does it once and for all. You don't have to do this many times. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in a point of time, and that result goes on forever. You don't have to be saved again and again and again. You just have to be saved again, which means a second time. I mean, you have to be born a second time. You don't have to be born again and again and again, as so many people say you have to do. You just be born again one time. It happens, as I said, in a point of time, and that result goes on forever. Well, this is what Paul is saying. He says, now do I persuade men? Now, there were those who came in, and they said that Paul not only was wrong in his apostleship, that he was not really apostle, but they said that Paul was, well, what he said in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the first verse. He says, I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. In other words, he just did all different kinds of things. Paul would preach one thing over here and he'd preach something else over here. They accused him of doing this. And I realize that there are preachers all over the place who do preach different things. They will tell you one Sunday you've got to do one thing to be saved, and the next Sunday they'll tell you something else. Or in one sermon they'll say something, and the next sermon they'll say something else, and this gets us all confused. And they said Paul did that. He said, but Paul did become all things to all men. By that, what he meant was that he would do anything to get a man to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ that was legal. Now, when we get to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we'll see that Paul was not talking about that he would go out and get drunk with a drunkard that he might win the drunkard. No. He would go out and be in the place where a drunkard was. He would associate himself with a drunkard. He would go out and he would talk to that man so that he could explain to that man how to be saved. It didn't make a difference who he was. Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, he dealt with every kind of person that there was. He tried to deal with the religious man. He usually would not listen. He was so self-righteous and self-centered, he wouldn't listen to the gospel. But he went to the publicans and the sinners. And the publicans means the tax collectors and the outlaws and the sinners. That means their girlfriends. Outlaws are, you know what they're like, and I don't have to enumerate on that, but this is who Jesus Christ taught with. Remember the woman at the well, and we'll get to this in John very soon. He comes up to her, and she wasn't a thing in the world but a prostitute, and yet Jesus Christ stood there, and he talked to her, and he told her how she could have living water, and this prostitute trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Well, this is what Paul is talking about when he says, I have made all things that all men that I might by all means win some. And so he says, but do I now persuade men or God? Am I just trying to be this kind of thing to persuade this man? Would I go over here and I try to, by human means and human tactics, persuade this man by emotionalism or by some gimmick, I might persuade him to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ? Isn't that what Paul says? He says, do I try to persuade men or God, or do I seek to please man? He says, is my preaching, am I trying to please everybody that comes along? And a person that tries to do this is just out of his mind. There's no way in the world that a preacher of any kind can please everybody. And I realize there's some who try to do this. And they usually end up down in Whitfield or somewhere like this, or going to a psychiatrist. But there's no way in the world a man can please everybody. And Paul says, I don't try to please man. He says, I have preached the gospel. I preach the truth that I have learned from God, and I'm going to keep on preaching that. I'm going to keep on teaching that, and I'm not going to deviate. I have set my course. I have set my face as a flint, and I'm not going to change from the course that I've gone. He says, I don't try to please men. He says, if I do, I should not continue to be the servant of Christ. You can't please man and be the servant of Christ. Now, man over here, and this is talking about unsaved man, he wants you just to say everything's all right. He's going to try to have an ecumenical movement where he gets everybody together. He's going to try to have a system of works whereby man can get in a right relationship with God. He's going to have all kind of little gimmicks and little things that he'll throw out here and little things that come along besides preaching the good news that Jesus Christ died for sinners and paid for their sin by his shedding of his blood. And Paul says, I'm not trying to persuade men because I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And this is the thing that we've got to make up our minds that we're going to do. Regardless of what anybody else does, regardless of what anybody else says, that we are going to be the servant of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to serve him right down the line. Now, there are very few people who make up their mind to do this. I said this morning, we just had 10 people in Emmanuel Baptist Church who would set their face as a flint and who would determine they're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and they're going to do what he says, we could turn Starville upside down. There have always been just a few people who did it. Back in the first century, there were 12 or 11, really, until Paul came along. They started off with 11 people, and these 11 disciples turned a world upside down for God. Now, it didn't stay with just 11. Because this 11 got on fire for the Lord, they got, when they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they went out and they relied upon God, the Holy Spirit, to give them the power and the authority and to give them everything that they needed to witness and to be that testimony that God wanted them to be. And this thing began to catch. And this thing began to mushroom. And first thing you know, they won a world for God. Now, that's what Acts says. It says these 11 men, turn a world upside down. And we can learn from church history that this actually happened. Tertullian says that everywhere you went, the name of Jesus Christ was spoken on the lips of people. He even went to China and places over like that. And you could find Christians scattered all over China who knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's in the first century as a result of 11 men who turned the world upside down. Paul says, 11th verse, for I certify you, or I lay it on the line. Now, brother, I'm hewing the line straight. I'm not trying to deviate one to the left. He says, brother, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. It's not after man's norm, a man's standard. And as we go through the book of Galatians, we're going to see man's standard, and we're going to see God's standard. And as we have pointed out before, man has some kind of work to get to heaven. It may be a big thing or it may be a little thing. There are some men who say that you've got to walk down an aisle and join a church to be saved. If you'll show me that in the Bible, I'll change my message. But it's not there. There are those who say you have to be baptized to be saved. The Bible does not say you have to be baptized to be saved. Now, the Bible, there's a place for joining a church. There's a place for baptism. There are those who say even that you have to pray to be saved. And you do not even have to pray to be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And this is what Paul is talking. And we're going to find out in the second chapter that he had to go up to Jerusalem and straighten those people out there at Jerusalem. They had the Jerusalem Council. And they were trying to add in some works for salvation. And Paul made a trip to Jerusalem, and he ripped them up one side and down the other to make the gospel simple and make the gospel clear where people could understand it. And that's what we need today. We need a clear sign where people can know and people can understand that faith in Jesus Christ gives them eternal life. I know what Bobby's talking about. When he said that every time he went to the meeting, he got saved. I've seen this happen time and time again. And either one or two things was not was happening. Either he was not listening carefully, or somebody was not making the true issue clear. Now, a lot of times people don't listen. I was 19 years old before they ever really got my attention, and I ever really listened for the first time and to understand what the Bible had to say about going to heaven. And a man was preaching from John 3:16, a verse of Scripture that I had heard all of my life. And yet I never really stopped. And I never really listened to what the Bible said. I either was listening to the traditions of men, or I wasn't listening at all. And Paul said, the gospel that I've preached is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now the norm is to receive the gospel from a man. You see, the normal thing is for you to hear the gospel from some other man and to be taught the word of God by a man. This is natural. That's the reason why you need a preacher. It's so that preacher can take the word of God and can teach you the word of God. This is the first responsibility of a preacher. And when that preacher does not preach and teach God's word, he's falling down on his job. And this is actually what's happened to us today. We have very little preaching of the word of God. It happened back in the days of Nehemiah. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn to Nehemiah, I'd like for you to turn to the 8th chapter. And remember that the word of God had been lost, and the Jewish nation did not have the law of Moses. It had been misplaced, and no one had a copy of it. And for years they had gone along and they had not heard the word of God read. And yet, in the Pentateuch, the Bible says that a parent is supposed to teach his child when they get up in the morning, when they're going somewhere, when they're coming back, when they're sitting down at the meals, before they go to bed. They're supposed to be teaching the word of God, but the Jewish race hadn't been doing that. And by the way, you parents who are not teaching your children the word of God at home, watch out. They need to be taught at home as well as at church. They need to be getting the word of God all the time. You need to be talking to them over and over again and explaining these things to them. But the word of God was lost here. And finally, somebody found a copy of the word of God. In the 8th chapter, notice, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spoke unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the high priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that would hear with understanding. All the people who wanted to hear and wanted to understand, they all came before the water gate, and they stood up there to hear it read and to hear it taught. Now notice the 5th verse. We'll skip several verses. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. He got the book there, and it says, for he was above all the people. Now, this means that he was up on a pedestal. He was up on a platform where all the people could see him. That's all it means when it says he's above the people. He's up where they can all see it. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And that's the reason why we had you to stand this morning when the word of God is read. Not in respect to the person or the pulpit, but in respect to the word of God. As Ezra stood up there and he was reading, he opened the book and he began to read, all the people with one accord, they all just stood up to respect God's word. Now the reading of the scripture is the most important part of our service. Because as I am reading, or whoever is reading the scripture, they are reading to you the unadulterated word of God. Simple and plain and clear. Now maybe you don't understand it all. And these people that stood up there before Ezra, as he began to read it, they didn't understand it either, because notice what the Bible says. It says, he opened the book in the sight of all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, and lifted up their hands, and so on and so forth. Now notice down in the 7th verse, in the middle of the verse, It names off several names there, and it says the Levites caused the people to understand the law. These people, as they began to read, then they began to cause the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their places. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and what? And gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And that's what we're endeavoring to do here at the Emmanuel Baptist Church, is to read the Word of God and to give the sense or the interpretation of it, to explain it to you so that you might understand it. And we, if we had time and go ahead and read this, we could find out that there was a great revival here among the Jews. As they heard the Word of God and they began to have it explained unto them, the Word of God went down in their hearts and in their minds, and those that were not saved trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and this began to sweep across the country, and many thousands of people trusted Christ, and they began to serve the Lord and to do what God wanted them to do. And that's what we want to do here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, is to preach and to teach you the Word of God. Now, that's the normal way. But back to Galatians, the first chapter, Paul didn't receive his this way. No man came to him and taught him the Word of God. And occasionally there are people who are saved just by picking up a tract that somebody gives them, and they read the tract and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Or occasionally there's somebody who is just reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden it just hits them, bam! Jesus Christ died for me and paid for my sins, and they trust Him as their Savior by reading God's Word. But this is not the natural way. This is not the usual way. This is the unusual way. Now, there are many unusual things about the Apostle Paul. He was saved in a very unusual way. He was walking down a road one day, and there was a light from heaven that struck him blind and knocked him down. And a voice out of heaven spoke unto him, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Lord, who are you? He recognized this was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he trusted Him as his Savior. But after he trusted Him as his Savior, he had heard the traditions of men so long, and he had come up in the educational system, and he'd come down the educational pipe of the religion of his day, and it was so perverted that he was afraid to go to anybody, any man, to teach him, because he'd had so many men teachers who had taught him the falsehood, had not taught him the truth, had taught him the traditions of the fathers. And so what did he do? He says, for I neither received it by man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ Himself. For ye have heard of my conversation. And the word conversation means my manner of life, the way I live. He says, you have heard of my conversation, the way I lived in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Back before I trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior, on the Damascus Road, I went around all the country, and I tried to kill off all the Christians that I could possibly find. I ripped up every Christian everywhere I could. I wasted, I ravished it. I tried to kill out all the Christians and profited in the Jews' religion. I came up in the ranks. Paul was a ladder climber. And there are a lot of preachers like that today. All they want to do is just go up the ladder. They're not interested in teaching God's Word. They're not interested in lost people who are going to hell trusting Jesus Christ their Savior. All they're interested in is a little more prestige, a little more money, a little more influence in their community, and this kind of thing. And that's what Paul was. He was interested in climbing the ladder. He said, I profited in the Jews' religion above many of mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Now, this traditions of our fathers are something that's killing our churches. I've had many people who have come to me, and I have shown them the Word of what the Word of God has to say about being saved. I had a lady in a former church. She came to me and she says, "I have never heard this kind of thing before in my life." I said, "Well, you see what the Bible says. We have done nothing but explain to you what God's Word says." She says, "Yes, but my mother has taught me all of my life that if I just treat my neighbor right and I try to do good and pay my debts, I'd go to heaven." And says, "If my mother said it, it's got to be true." You see, that's the tradition of our fathers. Now, maybe her mother could be right and maybe she could be wrong. In this case, she just happened to be wrong, because you can treat your neighbor right and pay all your debts and still go to hell. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ paid for sin. Treating your neighbor right will not do it. Living a good life will not do it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And mercy is grace in action. And Paul says he was exceedingly zealous in the traditions of our fathers. He listened to all that was said rather than the Word of God. Now, we have a lot of people like that. I had some people like that in my past church. If that's the way they did it in the past, they were going to keep on doing it. It didn't make a difference right or wrong. That's the way they were in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus Christ called them whitewashed tombstones, open sepulchres, because all they had was tradition. And it was all passed down, and not the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And this is what we've got to get back to. That's what they got back to in the days of Ezra, the days of Nehemiah. And that's what we need today. Now, either you want to learn, and you want to understand, and you want to know, or you don't care. No one can make you understand. And no one can give you the desire to learn. You have to have that yourself. Because you see, you have a free will. And God will not coerce your will. He will not make you do things. You do them because you want to. And if you want to know and you want to learn, God's going to teach you, just like He did the Apostle Paul. And he went back on the backside of the desert. Notice it says, "But when it pleased God," the 15th verse, "who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me." God, the one who separated me, God, the one who made everything. He made me. He permitted me to be born. He called me. This word "call" is the word for elect. And I wish we had time tonight to go to Ephesians, the first chapter, the 4th and 5th verses, and talk to you about election and predestination. But we'll have to get to that later. But this is what it's talking about. He called him by His grace, His unmerited favor, to reveal Jesus Christ in him. Notice where Jesus Christ is revealed: in him, in me. "That I might preach him among the heathen." The word "heathen" there should read Gentiles. Just the Gentile nations. There's a Jewish nation, there's a Gentile nation. He says, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." I didn't go back to the traditions of the fathers. I didn't go to any man. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Now, we don't know how long he stayed in Arabia in the desert, but while he was there, God taught him that with the knowledge that he had of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit correlated this in his mind, and he began to understand. And this is where we get the major portions of our New Testament, is from this genius, a little scrawny fellow who was a genius, mentally speaking, who went back on the backside of the desert and stayed back there and prayed and talked to God and asked God to reveal himself to him and to show him his grace after he was saved. He says, the 18th verse, "After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter." Means he went up there to exchange experiences with Peter. The word "see" there means to exchange experiences. "And I stayed with him there for 2 weeks, the 15th day. But other apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother." He talked to James, the pastor of the church there at Jerusalem. Now the things which I write unto you behold, before God, I lie not. He says, I tell you where I got my information from. Jesus Christ. Notice the 22nd verse. And afterwards, the 21st verse, after I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which are in Christ. And they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which he once destroyed. Here's a man who was now preaching what he once fought against. Several years ago, over in Columbus, Mississippi, there were some young men over there in high school who Wayne Neal was among the gang that gave his testimony last Sunday morning. And they went out one night, they were going to witness to someone, and one of their friends was out parked on a lonely road in a car with a girl, and he drove up, opened the door, and says, Abbott, you're going to hell. This man now is teaching theology down at U.S. Baptist Theological Seminary. His name is Fisher Humphrey. He opened the door and he says, Abbott, you're going to hell. And Abbott piled out of the car and he started swinging, and Fisher took off and got in the car and left. And from that day on, Abbott Gooch, his boy's name, you don't know him, because he long since left here. He tried every way in the world he could to destroy the testimony of these boys and the testimony of this group. And finally, these boys began to pray for him. They realized that they had done a very foolish thing. That's not the way to witness, by the way. It's not very advisable. You could get shot. But anyway, they began to pray for old Abbott. And this was in the summertime that they witnessed to him, or were trying to witness to him. And in the wintertime, there was snow on the ground one night, and old Abbott woke up in the middle of the night, and his sheet was just wet with perspiration. He had been rolling and tossing, and he looked outside, and the window was frozen over. There wasn't any fire on in his room, and he couldn't figure out what in the world was wrong with me. Here I am. I'm laying up in this bed like it's in the dead of summer, without any air conditioning going on, and here I am sweating. The sheets are all wet. Am I sick? He felt of his head. He didn't have any fever. And he couldn't figure out what in the world was wrong. So finally he came to the conclusion that he was going to hell, and he realized it because these fellows had been praying for this boy. The next morning, when as soon as it got daylight, before school, he went to see this boy, Fisher. He said, Fisher, something happened to me last night, very unusual. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was in a cold sweat. And says, I know it's not a thing in the world, but that I'm under conviction. I know I'm going to hell, and I want you to help me get to heaven. I want you to show me how. And so old Fisher reached in his shirt pocket and he pulled out his little New Testament and led Abbott to the Lord. And that boy had fought so hard against that group and tried so hard to get people not to listen to him that once he joined the group and tried to have a testimony for Jesus Christ, it was rough. It was tough. They wouldn't listen because he had fought so hard. And they say, here's the guy who was fighting so hard and now he's joined them. What's happened? Well, to make a long story short, he went to Wano Lake and became the high school president of the Fellowship Christian Athletes that next summer. He had such a testimony. A man who had tried to destroy a testimony embraced it. I say that to say this. If the Apostle Paul, who fought so hard against the gospel and against Jesus Christ, trusted him as his Savior and became a staunch disciple of Jesus Christ, one of the greatest preachers in the world, and here's a high school kid, the same thing happened, you never know. You never know. Anybody and everybody can be a candidate for salvation. And I'm saying this. Those who fight the hardest sometimes fall the quickest and the hardest and make the best disciples of Jesus Christ. What we need to do is to be found faithful in witnessing and giving out the word of Jesus Christ. Let's bow here for prayer.